Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
Of course, the whole nation is fixated, at least a lot of the media is, on what's going on at the border. Tonight, at midnight Eastern time, Title 42 expires. That was put in place when Trump was president back in 2020 as like a public health emergency order, which allowed for fast deportations. We could turn around people, mostly from certain countries, right there at the border because of the public health order, Title 42. That's going to expire. We're going to go back to something called Title 8. Whatever the message is, it's getting to these countries. We know the numbers are off the charts the past several days. 10, 12,000 or more migrants at the border. And the House Republicans passed a bill today for border security. We're going to talk now to Congressman Tom McClintock about this and everything else that's going on down there.
Tom, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you. It's been a big day.
All right, I've been watching the news channels all day. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of people lined up from Texas to California at the border waiting for midnight. What do you think
is going to happen? I'm seeing numbers of 600,000 to 700,000.
Holy crap. What's going to happen here?
Well, the president has issued an order to the Border Patrol basically stand aside and let everybody in. So it's going to be tragic to see what happens next. You've got people. First of all, when they arrive at the border, they are traumatized. A lot of them are sick. They're desperate. They're starving. They've been brutalized. Many have been raped. And so they're just going to be released into the country. The question occurs, okay, well, now what? Where do they go? What do they do? And these little border towns are going to be absolutely overwhelmed with desperate, impoverished people who have no way to care for themselves. It's going to be tragic, I'm afraid.
In New York, the mayor says there's no more shelter openings. There's no more money. Chicago, same thing. The mayor there is declaring a state of emergency. We have no room. We have no money. Denver today, I heard the mayor. Same message. Don't come here. We're out of room and money. So,
well, they've got to go someplace, and the Border Patrol tells me they go to every part of the country. In fact, the Heritage Foundation just did a study on cell data of migrants issued these cell phones, and they eventually end up in every congressional district in America. The Border Patrol keeps telling me, you know, you warn your constituents that they're not exempt. Every town is now a border town. The illegal migrants don't stay here. They go to the four corners of the country, and they're coming to your town. And I've never understood how the Democrats think that we're going to improve our schools by packing our classrooms with non-English speaking students, or are we going to make our hospitals more acceptable by accessible, I should say, by flooding the emergency rooms with illegals demanding uncompensated care, how we make our communities safer by introducing cartels into them and flooding the streets with fentanyl. I don't understand. And then making it all but impossible to deport criminal illegal aliens, rather they release them back onto the streets. How are wage earners helped by flooding the market with cheap illegal labor? And you look at the social safety net that's supposed to be for Americans in need that is already stretched to the breaking point. You know, now adding millions of impoverished, dependent people on top of that. This is lunacy, and it's going to continue until the people responsible for it are turned out of office.
Your bill, you wrote a bill, got passed 219 to 213 in the House. It's called the Secure the Border Act. What are the details of it?
Basically, it simply restores the Trump-era policies that had secured our border. Remember, on Inauguration Day, the border was secured. The Remain in Mexico policy had slowed illegal immigration to a trickle. The border wall was nearing completion. ICE was actually enforcing court-ordered deportations. Imagine that. And by that afternoon, Joe Biden had reversed all of those policies, and the numbers that have come in since then are absolutely staggering. Of 2.1 million illegal aliens deliberately admitted into this country in violation of federal law. Now, you hear a higher number, but some of those were turned away. Just the ones they deliberately allowed into the country, 2.1 million. That is a population larger than the entire state of Nebraska. And while the Border Patrol has been overwhelmed changing diapers and taking names at the border, we've had another 1.5 million known gotaways. These are people we watched on video or tracked entering the country but could not intercept. 1.5 million more. That's an additional illegal population larger than the state of Hawaii. And that's just in 27 months. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Again, half of these illegals have been turned away under Title 42. Now they're coming in. And the numbers are so vast that they're just telling the Border Patrol essentially stand aside and let them in.
We were told that they were going to replace Title 42 with something months ago. We were told that.
Well, they could have kept Title 42 in place until they had. They've chosen not to. This is deliberate policy. This is not incompetence. It is not an accident. It is a deliberate policy.
Who is running the country now? But Biden never had this kind of politics. He was around 50 years. Nobody ever heard him carry on as an immigration activist like this.
Well, that's a very good question, and I don't think anybody can clearly answer that question. It is the advisors around him, who are obviously issuing these orders, are hard left activists. Who they are, that's not entirely clear to me, but it's very clear to me what they're doing, and it is frightening. I mean, this really, I think, is a tipping point for our country. History tells us that countries that either cannot or will not secure their borders simply aren't around very long. If you don't enforce your immigration laws, you have no immigration laws. If you have no immigration laws, you've got no border. And if you've got no border, then we no longer have a country. And I'm afraid that is we're taking a giant step in that direction with this edict to essentially rescind Title 42.
This bill makes a great statement. Is there any chance that the Democrats in the Senate and Biden will seriously consider it or negotiate with you on it?
That's an important question. I don't know the answer to it. I mean, obviously, they've said they're not going to. Schumer said it's dead on arrival. They're not even going to discuss it. Well, that, of course, invites the question, why the hell do you think we built this building with the dome on top in the center of town? The sole purpose of the Capitol building is to have such discussions, to talk these things out. And he's saying he won't even discuss it. And Biden, of course, has said he would veto if it did get to his desk. So at some point, the American people are going to have to make a decision over this. You know, people ask me all the time, how could this be happening to our country? And my answer, to be very blunt, is if you voted for Biden and the Democrats, this is exactly what you voted for.
I can't believe.
And if you're surprised by that, you weren't paying any attention.
I can't believe that they think this is a good policy for the country for all the reasons you laid out. And I can't believe that ultimately, after there's a campaign, it's a winning policy, that it's going to be a popular policy. If we start getting, you know, weeks worth of coverage of hundreds of thousands or millions of people freely crossing the border, this eventually is going to blow up on them.
I think they have come to terms with the fact that they've lost the American people, and their only way to hang on to power is to import millions of impoverished, dependent people from outside the country. I think that's what's really going on. There's no other explanation for it. If you accept that theory, it all makes sense. Without it, none of this makes any sense.
All right, Tom, good to speak with you as always. Appreciate you coming on during this tough day.
My pleasure. Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Congressman Tom McClintock and the Republicans did pass a border security bill, which probably has no chance in the Senate. But that's also the news this afternoon, as he said, going back to a lot of the Trump policies, finishing the wall, hiring more agents. But of course, we have an open border crowd that is running the Biden administration, at least from the perspective of the Department of Homeland Security. And instead, what we understand is there's no room to detain people. They're all being waved right through the last couple of days.
I think this is part
of it. And no court date given.
Yeah, well, this is part of the grand progressive plan to destabilize the country. What do they want to do? They want to erase the border. They've done it. They'd like to get rid of ICE entirely and the Border Patrol. They want to defund the police. They want no bail for criminals. They want to close down all the jails. What are you going to have if all those things happen, and they're happening right now? You're going to have chaos all over the place, and that completely ruins the way of life that they're all accustomed to. That is the goal. They're doing this on purpose. They know exactly what's going to happen. This is not an accident. This is not incompetence. This is purposeful, because they want to destroy whatever America stands for now. Whatever kind of lifestyle we're enjoying, they want to ruin it. There's no other explanation for this.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
What happens at this time exactly tomorrow? The voice line plays. We've got openings. You can leave a message. Use the iHeartRadio app. There's a little microphone icon. It's a simple way to leave a message or call the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86. We're still collecting messages for tomorrow. 1-877-664-7886.
One more thing about the migrant invasion in New York City. They have plans to set them up in tents in Central Park, or in airplane hangars at JFK. That's a possibility if the overflow is that great. That shows how they've run out of room.
And that's probably mostly from the buses from Texas. I mean, how are those people getting to New York from the border?
A lot of them are getting there on their own now.
And they're going to New York because they have others that are there? Usually what happens. It's usually a chain of communication.
Well, New York's always had a lot of immigrant communities, of all types of ethnicities, going back, you know, over 100 years. So there's probably, I don't know. I mean, they're coming from all over the place. Remember I told you before in Portland, Maine, that they're having an influx? And that influx is from South Africa and the Republic of Congo and another African nation that I can't remember right now. Well, yeah, for some reason.
Are you telling me they're coming across the Mexico border and then making their way to Portland, Maine from original locations like Africa?
That's what the news said, yeah. Wow. Yeah, they're coming in from like 100 different countries. They're getting to Mexico, or they're getting to South America from Africa, and then they're making their way up to the border because it's gone out worldwide that this is your chance.
Oh, man. Breaking news from the El Segundo Times. This is the way they cover this story. Biden cuts time for migrants to get lawyers, echoing Trump policy as Title 42 expires. The Biden administration, desperate to limit border crossings after a key pandemic-era measure expires later today, has slashed the amount of time asylum seekers have to find lawyers. Really? I thought they'd not even be given court dates.
They're not given court dates, or they're given a court date. What did somebody say earlier on in the show? That the court date's 2027?
Oh, look at this. The move is the latest example of Biden adopting a Trump-style scheme. They called it a scheme.
Right.
An attempt to manage the high numbers of border crossings.
Progressives want open borders.
Right, but they're also trying to tell their listeners that this administration is doing something, and the Times even goes so far as to say they're getting more restrictive. They're getting more restrictive. They're trying to play this note.
Right.
To make, you know, regular people think, all right, there's been a lot, but they're trying to get a control of this. But they're not. Secretly,
No.
is what they want.
This is what they want. You know, people go, how could they do this? Why would they do this? They want to change the way America is. Progressives despise America. Everything about it. The materialism, the capitalism, the way we insist on law and order. They despise our history. They accuse us of all kinds of racial hatred and every other hatred on the book. And that's just to demonize people, to beat them down psychologically, to make them feel guilty, to make them more pliable for the changes they want to impose. It's like a world socialist ideology here. And when you're like a world socialist, when you really have the religion, the U.S. is the big whale that you want to take down.
I'll add something you won't agree with, but I do believe there's a faction that does believe that the world should not have borders. People who have real problems because they're poor should be welcomed into the United States.
Oh, I believe that, yes.
And we have plenty of room to absorb them.
Yes.
And too bad. The answer is we don't. I mean, the stories we're hearing about these cities being overwhelmed, and this is a problem. How many times have we said this on the show? As long as we've covered this issue, we watched what was really a California problem when we first covered this story decades ago, remember? Mm. And now we've seen what's happened to like the LA Unified School System. It's a complete failure because it's been overwhelmed with people who do not speak English as a primary language, where apparently they may live in households that are packed with people and parents who both have to work and can't really pay attention to their child's education and don't have time for that and don't really understand it because they don't speak English. And this is how it compounds. It compounds the problem. So decades of this happening in California are now going to start happening in other places in the country.
And the winners are the cartels. This is a multi-billion dollar business for the cartels. They have television ads they run all day. They have social media ads on TikTok, Facebook, you know, Instagram, you name it. The cartels heavily influence the Mexican government. The cartels and the Mexican government are one and the same. And there's so much money in this. And they're so well-armed. And they're so vicious. And the U.S. Biden is absolutely terrified of taking them on. And these activist fanatics who have infiltrated the White House want to bring on the destruction of America. That's a bad combination between the fear of taking on the cartels and the activists wanting millions of poor people to come here and change the nature of the cities and the schools. Like Tom McClintock said, imagine your school. You suddenly have dozens and dozens of kids who can't speak English. What are you going to do with them? And they're not going to be taught. And then what's going to become of them?
All right. When we come back, well, it's still looking a lot like next year's presidential choice will be the same one from 2020. Biden against the other guy. We're going to talk about the other guy in his CNN town hall last night. Play a couple of clips in case you missed it. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere. iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Yeah, and use that app to connect to the Moist Line. Final roundup of calls for tomorrow's presentation during this hour. You can use the microphone icon on the app to leave a message there directly for the Moist Line or dial up the toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886.
And you can hear the podcast, too, today. It'll be posted after 4 o'clock. John again on demand on the iHeart app.
It'll be a big day tomorrow with more Title 42 madness. Of course, it's expiring, and that's leading to the madness at the border. His name is Chris Licht, L-I-C-H-T. He's the chairman of CNN, and a lot of people are saying, and there's a few people left that watch CNN, what the hell were you doing or thinking to having a town hall with Trump? Well, you know, back in 2016, they had pretty good ratings because they covered all the Trump rallies. It was quite the entertaining thing the first 2015, 2016, right, after Trump announced in June of 2015 he was running.
And then
it was programming.
Then they purposely switched to be the anti-Trump network, to be the resistance, yes, network. And that got them a big audience as well. Trump, yes, is good business whether you're on his side or against him.
And now it's been awful because with Trump losing, possibly losing the 2020 election, there isn't much to cover on this. But he's back, and of course he's running again, and he's facing all of these legal problems. By the way, last night I guess he had some vile things to say about E. Jean Carroll. Did you know that in the town hall?
Yes, and the audience laughed.
And she is threatening to sue again for defamation based on last night's town hall.
You know, what really made that broadcast last night, you know, he was in greatest hits form, right? He was rolling out all the material, but he was going after E. Jean Carroll and other things. The audience were all Republicans because it's
all Trump lovers. Yeah,
it's a Republican town hall. But it was specifically Trump lovers and passionate Trump lovers. They gave him a standing ovation when he came out. And then when he was going against Carroll, and really, really describing her in unflattering terms, they're laughing. And it just reminded me of when he was doing those Rosie O'Donnell jokes and Megyn Kelly was trying to scold him in the first debate in 2015. Mm-hmm. And the crowd started laughing. And I remember Megyn Kelly looking over her shoulder because she thought this was her star moment where she scolds Trump and shames him. And instead, he makes a Rosie O'Donnell joke and they're all laughing. And she looks really confused and thrown off. And it was the same thing yesterday. They were laughing at stuff that in any other situation, people wouldn't laugh. But they laugh at Trump. He just came off, you know, a sexual assault case that the jury found him liable for. It was really, really odd.
The moderator of this thing is a woman by the name of Caitlin Collins. What we understand, Trump took over the town hall with his fans in the audience. It was a no-win situation for her. Let's begin with the first clip over the 2020 election.
Your polls show that you are dominating the Republican race right now, but you are also under active federal investigation for trying to overturn the 2020 election results. Your first term ended with a deadly riot at the Capitol, and you still have not publicly acknowledged the 2020 election results. Why should Americans put you back in the White House?
Because we did fantastically. We got 12 million more votes than we had in, as you know, in 2016. I actually say we did far better in that election. Got the most that anybody's ever gotten as a sitting president of the United States. I think that when you look at that result and when you look at what happened during that election, unless you're a very stupid person, you see what happens. A lot of the people,
there you go,
a lot of those people in this audience, and maybe a couple that don't, but most people understand what happened. That was a rigged election, and it's a shame that we had to go through it. It's very bad for our country. All over the world, they looked at it, and they saw exactly what everyone else saw. You look, even if you just look recently with the 51 intelligence agents, that made a 16-point difference. If you look at the FBI, if you look at the FBI and Twitter, they call it Twitter files, made a big difference. If you look at
Mr. President, back to what you just said there, though, it was not a rigged election. It was not a stolen election. You and your supporters lost more than 60 court cases on the election. It's been nearly 2.5 years. Can you publicly acknowledge that you did lose the 2020 election?
Let me just go on. If you look at True the Vote, they found millions of votes on camera, on government cameras, where they were stuffing ballot boxes. So with all of that, I think it's a shame that what happened. I think it's a very sad thing for our country. I think it's a very sad thing, frankly, for the world, because if you look at what's gone to our country has gone to hell. Our borders are bad. Our military has been bad. You look at the taxes, you look at inflation, what's happened to inflation, it's just destroying our country. We've really become in many ways a third world country. And it's very sad what's happened in this administration. And it's something that we'll turn around on day one.
So, she tries to be very earnest, very pointed, kind of in fact-checking mode, you know, pointing out the truth, the obvious truth. It's not going to matter. He doesn't ever give in. He just bulldozes right over you.
I mean, what's left of the CNN audience? This made no sense for their programming. They're sitting there listening to these Trump goons screaming and yelling for him and cheering and laughing. And they're like, I didn't look at the numbers. Did you look and see how many people actually watched
this? They got 3 million, which is, so they beat Fox and MSNBC, and that's 5 times what they normally get. It's not the biggest town hall that anybody's ever had, but it was the second highest, I think, for CNN.
Right.
So CNN has so few viewers that it doesn't take much to set records.
That's true, to amp up the numbers.
But, you know, 3 million people watch, so it's about 1% of the country.
All right, let's move to clip 3, and he ends up calling the host to your nasty.
But that's the question that investigators have, I think, is why you held on to those documents when you knew the federal
documents.
Government was seeking them and then had given you a subpoena to return them.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Can I talk?
Yeah, what's the answer?
Do you mind?
I would like for you to answer the question.
Okay, it's very simple to answer.
That's why I asked it.
It's very simple to you're a nasty person, I'll tell you.
They love it, yeah.
Can you answer why you held on to the documents?
I was negotiating and we were talking to NARA, that's Washington, to bring whatever they want. They can have whatever they want. When we left Washington, we had the boxes lined up on the sidewalk outside for everybody. People are taking pictures of them. Everybody knew we were taking those boxes. And the GSA, government service, the GSA was the one taking them. They brought them down to Mar-a-Lago. We were negotiating with NARA. All of a sudden, they raid our house. When Biden has his documents, he won't give back the 1,850 boxes.
See, just overwhelms you with stuff you can't even follow or understand. But
boxes.
You know what? His crowd doesn't care about these scandals. They don't care about the rape case. They don't care about the documents. They don't care about the impeachments, the Russia. They don't care about any of that stuff. So she's being
you heard him in the first clip start off about all the votes he got. He got more votes in 2020 than he got in 2016. So that leads to this. If it is Trump against Biden, are as many people going to vote in 2024 as they did in 2020? Me, I doubt it, right? Because in a certain way, Biden was kind of fresh and Trump was really hated. Now we have Trump still hated, but maybe not so much after 4 years, although he's in the news all the time over these legal problems. But Biden's support is kind of flaccid after 4 years of this boob.
He's flaccid.
So it's really going to be a question of who can turn out people quite sure there'll be less people voting. And of course, people believe that voting by mail is bogus anyway, and that may be the reason for the inflated numbers of votes.
Well, you know what? There are 6 states that are going to be in play. Out of 50 states.
Yeah, it's always the same ones.
You know, there are 6 of them. Yeah.
And Ohio, Florida.
Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, Arizona, Georgia. I forgot what the other one is. But, you know, those 6 states probably would be really close. And, I think 80,000 votes led to a Trump victory. If you moved 80,000 votes in 2016, he would have lost. And I think in 2020, if you moved like 40,000 votes, he would have won. Because the vote count doesn't matter. You can lose by 5 million votes and still win in the Electoral College.
Right.
So the math that I've seen on the states is you can pretty much assume that 44 states are going to go according to history, and then the 6 are wobblers. Give or take, you know?
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
After 4 o'clock, podcast goes up, and it's called John and Ken on Demand. Check out the Tom McClintock interview we did earlier in the hour if you missed it. He wrote a bill. The House passed it to clean up this border mess, which is going to be spectacular tomorrow. Wake up tomorrow morning and turn on a TV station and just watch the chaos.
All right, don't forget to leave a message for the Moist Line by calling 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. We'll play those calls tomorrow during this very hour. In fact, this time right now, you'll hear Moist Line callers. There's really nothing that social media influencers won't do. The Daily Mail did a story today with the title, "What Does Human Meat Taste Like? Scientists Reveal the Unique Flavor of Our Flesh." And a social media influencer in Spain apparently had a knee operation. She must have had a torn meniscus, so it was removed. So she cooked it and ate it.
Self-cannibalized.
Yes, she wanted to see what flesh. So she made a bolognese sauce. Put it in the spaghetti as the bolognese, the meat, was her own flesh.
Out of a knee tendon?
Yes, her meniscus.
A bolognese.
Her name was Paula Gonu. Uh-huh. And she admitted to cooking and eating part of her own knee in a spaghetti bolognese.
Why? That's not a girl you want to date. That's the one you'll wake up at 3 in the morning.
A picture of her with the bowl of pasta.
She's got a big knife. She straddled over you.
Now, the results were all over the place. Some people said that it does taste like pork, but it's actually softer.
What do you mean, some people? Oh, she served it to a number of people?
No. I don't have her review. The story is about all sorts of accounts from over the centuries of people who have eaten human flesh. Remember the survivors of the 1972 plane crash?
Yes.
They had to eat the fellow passengers to survive. Right. They said it was flavorless.
Really?
But others said, one guy said it was soft like tuna. There's a Russian killer. Oh, my God. He argued with a man who stood near the door of his building. He struck and killed him, then pulled the body inside dismembered. It took off the man's head and limbs, and all of a sudden, he decided to eat him, so he cut off a piece of the thigh and boiled it. He didn't like the taste of it raw, so he ended up frying it.
Frying it? And that was that a good... I don't know what the best method is to cook.
I don't know either. I would imagine anything you fry in oils is probably going to taste better.
And you throw a lot of barbecue sauce on it. And then.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's close to beef, say most of the experts.
Close to beef. Probably,
yeah, but, you know, like we're an animal like any other animal.
Sure.
So,
well, I would do it. Fatty people probably would taste better.
Right.
Because the fat is the flavorful part.
That's true. You're right. You're right. Fat does cook up well and tasty, like it would a fatty steak or any other piece of meat.
Conway's here.
Hey, where do they serve that? Where'd you get that? I mean, is that a...
People who've... one woman ate her own meniscus and flesh.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What kind of day was she having? What's going on with her?
She's looking for hits. Social media.
Oh, I see. Okay.
She's an influencer.
All right. And she got a bunch of hits.
Wants to start a...
She did. Good for her. A video eating the bolognese.
Oh, Bubba. All right. The nude homeless encampment along San Vicente in Beverly Grove is getting emptied. So no more, nudies running around. And then the CDC says we have this highly contagious drug-resistant ringworm going around New York City.
Is that right?
Yes. And, man, that could wipe out a lot of people. And then the red, white, and blue Reebok jacket that Michael Jordan was wearing when he got the gold medal in 1992 Olympics going up for auction. They say it could actually... bringing around $1 to $3 million.
I can see that.
Can you imagine if that kind of money where you spend $3 million on a used jacket?
Some crypto jackass.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. Well, the post cryptos, you know.
Right. The ones who cashed out.
Guy that got out early in crypto. Yeah. So that and I don't know. We'll come up with something else.
All right. And
Dig Dogs.
See how the invasion goes tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. It starts tomorrow.
See the countdown clock?
Oh. Oh, yeah, 5 hours, and three minutes.
Oh, to the expiration of Title 40.
Fox has a helpful countdown clock.
Oh, my God.
A countdown clock. That's great.
So what time is that Eastern time? That's going to be, 9 o'clock?
9 o'clock.
Yeah, it's 9 o'clock our time.
All right.
So it's midnight their time.
Yeah, so primetime viewing.
Yeah.
Excellent for us.
What drops at midnight? Not the big ball. What's the equivalent there?
Crozier's got the news live in the 24-hour KFI News.
All right. Dig Dog.
Hey, you've been listening to The John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see
crazy what music does to people. It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.